once again. My brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where, you know, amidst all that goes on in the world, we can still put out truth. You know, despite in this country, in many cases, a gag order on truth, we still publish because we can and we do. And, you know, truth will stand as it does. Truth, you know, I had a buddy one time of mine when I was in India. He told me this, and this, hey, I found it to be accurate. He said, you know, when you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said last. See, that's the thing. And he said that's, for him, he said he was not smart enough to be a liar. Because when you lie, you've always got to remember the last thing that you said. And when you lie, it builds on itself. So once that door is open for a lie, it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes until it just finally crumbles. And, you know, that's why. But when you tell the truth, when you're a person of truth, you know, you never, ever, ever have to remember what you said last. Because the truth stands true by itself. You're just somebody that's relaying it, but it stands true on its own. You know, and people that love the truth, they also love the light. They love to come into the light. They love for things to be seen for what they are, and for things to be exposed for what they are. Because then there's freedom. Then you know exactly what you're dealing with. Then you know the steps that you need to take to go forward. You know, I think sometimes when, you know, there's a lot of strategies the enemy uses to get the natural mind, the carnal mind, to buy along to a predetermined satanic agenda. And, you know, one of those is appealing to that, you know, the whole ends justifies the means. Or, you know, we got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. Or, you know, oh, people can't handle this if they know this. Or, you see what I'm saying? They use those kind of carnal thinking. And in the end, you don't get an omelet, you just get a bunch of broken eggs. You know, that was what, you know, communism was in you know, under Stalin. That was what a lot of these practices are. You know, when people start saying, oh, okay, we're going to create this utopian nation, and so therefore, in order to do it, we've got to, you know, get rid of these dissidents, or get rid of this person, or that person, or destroy this, or take away that. And, you know, so often what happens is when those things are done with the demonic inspiration behind them, what you end up seeing is just a lot of destruction and a lot of pain. But if there's not a commitment to a standard of truth to start with, where are you going? Because all you're doing is just going one lie to the next, destroying one set of people to the next, like Hitler did. Hitler did that. You know, his whole idea of creating the Aryan race, and you know, he got people to buy into it. And when they went forward in that whole process, they did a lot of destruction. So just be aware that you know, many times what happens with the Luciferian agenda is it'll be tied up in what seems like good things that you know, people want you to buy into, and seemingly, you know, noble ideologies. So, you know, it's funny because there's all these people that talk about, you know, the need for population control and you know, how the world is getting overpopulated, but they don't want to be the ones to knock themselves off and their own kids, but they'll get rid of, you know, families and tribes and other nations. Because they're just numbers to them. They don't want to be partakers of their own policy. You know, like many times when people decide on issues for healthcare, you know, they make healthcare decisions for other people, but they themselves won't take part in those same practices. You know, never... Okay, here's something to beware of. Always beware of a man that refuses to use his own product. If you have somebody that refuses to use his own product, you should know there's something wrong. Just on a consumer level. So, yeah, if it's good enough for your use and your daily use, then yeah, maybe it's worth talking to somebody else about buying it or using it. But if you get a man that refuses to use his own product, you know there's a problem. So, you know, a lot of pharmaceutical companies, ask yourself, do they use on a daily basis the stuff they're pushing? You know, just something to keep in mind, because the world is going to continue to escalate. You know, we continue to mention that. And I know that right now we've had people, you know, writing in and people talking with us and everything. And I know that there's a lot of you out there that you really feel the press of what's going on. You know, you can feel it. And part of that is because, hey, you're alive. The fact that you're alive, you can actually feel, you know, what's going on. And because you feel things that are going on, it vexes you. It vexes your spirit. It vexes your soul. But in the midst of all that's taking place, you know, we always encourage you to keep an eternal perspective, to keep a vision of much more than this short temporal reality, because everything here is passing away. Everything here is limited. Everything here is just for a window and a season of time. And in that window and season of time, we always remind you that, you know, in a second, God can change the reality, even in the natural, very, very quickly if He wants to. You know, we've continued to give you scriptural examples for your encouragement, because those are put there so that you would know that hey, the same God of yesterday is the same God today, will be the same God tomorrow. He is I Am. And, you know, the same way that He dealt with things before, He can absolutely do them again if He so chooses. So, you know, we just have to be in step. You just have to realize that even if you're outnumbered, it doesn't matter, because like Elijah, when they were surrounded and they came to take him away, you know, he told the guy next to him, hey, those that are with us are more than those that are against us, and asked the Lord to open his eyes. And the guy saw chariots of fire. He saw all the hosts of heaven that were surrounding the enemies. And, you know, that, look, we're covered. You know, we have always outnumbered the enemy. We've always outnumbered the enemy. There's always more that are for us than those that are for them. But in order for this entire thing to play out, you know, we have to have these windows and these seasons. We have to have this type of oppression take place. Hear me. In order for this whole thing to play out, you know, we have to go through this. Look, the enemy has to allow for, there has to be a season where the enemy's hand is allowed to be strengthened, where his people are allowed to really buy in 100% to their satanic agenda and go all in, so that when they are wiped out, when their lives are cut short, that it's very, very clear that they were not on the fence, that they were fully bought and paid for by the world system, lock, stock, and barrel, completely into it, and the children of God were who they were amidst all of that. So, you know, yeah, we've got to have these seasons. We've got to have these things take place. You know, you are blessed to live in interesting times. Look, if you were dead to this world and alive in Christ, this stuff wouldn't bug you that much. It would actually be quite fascinating, because this life is not your home. This world is not your home. So you are walking through what is a pretty amazing journey, and God is strengthening you and quickening you for the journey at hand, to be of use and of service to God's kingdom purposes. That's a whole different thing. Now, if you are still alive to this world, then you're still trying to make something work here. You're still trying to, you know, build that castle on the the shoreline, it's that sandcastle by the sea, and get it all set up and you know, put a boundary around it and put a moat and do everything you can to protect that sandcastle from the tide that's coming in. And frankly, that's not a good use of your time, not a good use of your energy, not a good use of your mental resource while you're here. Because a lot of those things that people have put their stock in don't matter. You know, a lot of the things that people have put their mental stock and thought process into, they're not really that important. Because, you know, if just give them the eternal test. Just, you know, if you start wondering about something and how important it is, just compare it to, does it have much eternal value or eternal significance in what it is? And if it's not, then don't worry about it too much. You know, people worry about things that don't really matter too much. And you don't need to. You know, sometimes it is good to engage your mind, to allow yourself to think, but, you know, always come back to a place of, you know, being ever-present. Always come back to a place of I am, because we walk with Him, and we walk in I am. So, you know, when you are worried or perplexed or these things start to get to you, you know, sometimes what I do, I do sit down and just write stuff out. You know, just sit down and write it out. Get it out of your head. Because that stuff that's in your head and bouncing around in your head, you know, it can cause you to just, it's not going to stop. You know, unless you make some decisions of how you're going to manage the information and the things around you. So, I mean, even with the things that are going on around you, rather than being a passive consumer of information, you know, you need to ask yourself, are you going to do something with this information? Are you going to act on it? Are you going to engage in anything? And if not, then limit it. You know, limit what goes into you. Because otherwise, the world will just continue to force feed you more and more garbage. It's just like junk food. You know, it's mental junk food. It just clogs up your mind. You're not going to do anything with it. The only thing that it does is makes you softer and more pliable for the world's agenda. You know, what I do is I keep a filter, you know, with everything that's going on around me. I see it through a lens that God, you know, helps me to have, which is just, you know, His Spirit, His Word, His plan and purpose, what it is that He's working out in this day and age right now. Makes a big difference. Because then, too, for me, you know, when I see certain things taking place politically or technologically or militarily or economically or religiously, it just keeps falling into lines with, you know, that which God shows me in the realm of the Spirit. And when He reveals certain things in the realm of the Spirit, then you like, okay, here's where we're at. Here's the call of the day. Here's the need of the hour. Here's what God's people should be about. Because you should be in a place where you are in step with God's Spirit. You need to be. Because there's a need for... Because one, when you're in step with the Spirit of God, there's peace in that. When you're in step with the Spirit of God, there is... You also are in a place where you have purpose. You know, a lot of people, because they're not in step with His Spirit, they don't have peace and they don't have purpose. Purpose being a reason for existing, a reason for being here right now. You know, you want to be in purpose. And, you know, when you're not in purpose, then you have lots and lots and lots of questions about, okay, why am I here? Woe is me. I hate my life. I hate my existence. No, you should be in purpose. And the way to be in purpose is to be in step. Because when you're in step, now you're in a position spiritually where you can be in purpose, where God can move you. You know, one thing I've seen is just when you're in step with His Spirit, in a moment, He can just change your entire reality. You can be somewhere, things can change. You can meet somebody, things can change. You can, he'll just speak to you, things will change. He'll give you an epiphany, and you'll understand something you never understood before. And the world, your entire world will change. So, you know, it requires just a simple willingness of heart. It requires a continuous place where you've decided in your spirit, yeah, this is where I want to be. I want to be in step with Him. I want to walk with Him. I don't want to be, carrying on with my own personal agenda. You know, look, here's the thing. Your personal agenda will just make you very unhappy, very selfish, very self-serving, and it's not going to do anything for you. This whole thing, look, it's not about you, actually. It's not about me. You know, it's about Him. It is about our Creator. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him. I know a lot of you guys, you don't like to hear that because the world is also has sort of pushed you down the line of your own, you know, me, myself, I, me, my place, my significance, my role in this whole thing. And, you know, look, it's about Him. It's about Him. And when you allow it to be about Him, you're actually going to find your own purpose. That's a byproduct. You know, but what most people do is they put the cart before the horse, and they try to find their own purpose, and it's all about them, and then they just want to fit God into it as a tack on. And that's not the way that it works. He is the central part. He is the core. He is the center. And when He becomes the center of your universe, when He becomes the why of your existence, when who He is, what He's about, His plan, His purpose, when He is everything, and you have allowed for that, in your spirit you desire that, you don't want anything in and of yourself, when He is everything, then there is peace. When He's everything, there is there's a stillness in your spirit because you've transitioned from what the world told you. Look, the world, okay, let's put a few scriptures together. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, right? John chapter 10. Okay, so that's the role that the thief does. And Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus wants you to have life, right? Right. The thief comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, right?
Right.
Okay, so what does the thief tell you? What does the devil tell you? In Mark chapter 8, he says, save your life. Save your life. Look out for yourself. You know, it's all about you. Jesus said, if anybody loves their life in this world, tries to save their life in this world, they're going to lose it. If you lose your life for my name and for the gospel, you're going to find it. So isn't that ironic that in losing your life for Christ Jesus and for the gospel, you find life. You find the abundant life. But in trying to hold on to life, in trying to hold on to your existence here, in trying to be something here, in trying to save your life, in trying to create your own empire, you actually lose your life. Isn't that amazing? And shouldn't that be a wake-up call? Because the thing is that unless, look, this is again down to you. Unless you make a willful decision and a willful choice to allow the Spirit of God to make these changes in you, and you don't resist Him, don't harden your neck, don't stiffen your neck to what God's doing. You know, scripturally, there was a lot of times that God called children of Israel stiff-necked people. You know, have you ever tried to take, you know, a dog for a walk that had a stiff neck, or maybe a farm animal that was fighting you or something like that, you know, to go somewhere, to walk somewhere? You're trying to lead them in a particular direction, and they brace their neck against you and pull dig their heels in and pull back against what you're trying to do with them. And you're trying to take them to a good place. You're trying to take them for a walk. You're trying to take them to feed them. You're trying to do something to take care of them. And they brace themselves against you. Now, the world will take people to the slaughter. But people don't resist that. People just go headlong into that. Whereas God will try to take people to life and to truth. And many times the reaction that he gets is stiff-necked people, where they fight against him. They fight against what he's trying to do with them. They fight against his purposes. They fight against his love and his grace and mercy on their lives. Look, it is a gracious thing that God helps you and tears down all these things that you thought were important. You know, it is a gracious thing that God makes sure, if you ask for his purposes in his life and his direction in yours, that he makes sure that certain things fail in your life that would be you succeeding in the wrong thing. Hello. Yes. So there's certain things in your life that you've invested and put so much into, but you know what? That's not where God wants you. And so when those things don't work out, you're actually being freed up for a whole lot more to take place in your life, but you got to have that space. So when you have that space, now you can breathe, and now you can actually go forward in what he has for you. So it is a blessing many, many times. You just can't see it because you're in it right now in this moment. But if you look back 2 years from now, you'll be able to see it. But many times, people, they don't have the perspective, because they're in that moment and it just seems like their world is collapsing and crumbling around them. But when, if you just give it a bit more time and allow God to continue to direct and continue to work even behind the scenes to make things happen, you'll see it. You know, oftentimes it's just, all you need is just a little bit more, a little bit of a window, a little bit more time. You know, it just takes a few days for the resurrection to come. You know, rather than stressing out and worried because you just saw the crucifixion, you know, the resurrection's there. You just need a little bit of time. You need a little bit of space. You need a chance for God to work out his purposes, and then for him to allow for him to then later on show you and say, this is the reason why. This is the reason why this didn't work out. This is the reason why this was not part of my plan and purpose. This is the reason why that was a transitory step in your life, not the end all. You know, it's a shame, because one thing that happens with a lot of people too is they keep looking for the stopping point. They keep looking for the place where, like, okay, this is where I'm going to stop and I'm going to stay here forever. And God is constantly moving with his people. You know, one thing I've noticed, you know, even in my own life, has been that so often what God has done with me is about every 2 years, you know, my life has changed dramatically. I don't know if that's going to be the pattern that he keeps with me all the time. But I do know that, you know, so often the things that he's had me do every couple of years changed dramatically. I mean, in completely different things, completely different fields, completely different frames of reference, completely different countries, completely different people around me. And all of that has been part and parcel of his plan and purpose, sets of divine sets of experiences, because in doing all of that, there's a preparation that's taking place for, oftentimes, for the next set of things. And if I was just to say, okay, now this is me, now this is, all right, now I've arrived, you know, now that's it, this is it, this is the last place, and I'm going to stop here, and that's it, and it's done. No. I would miss it. Because God intends that you flow with him. Now, if you ever get out of step, you'll know it. You'll know it in your heart. You'll know it. Your peace will be ruffled. You're going to be in a place where you just like you know that something's not right. But when you're in step, you can be in naturally the toughest situation you could imagine. But there's peace inside. And that's not something you can explain to anybody. It's a state of existence that you have because you trust Him and you follow Him and you believe in Him. And you're walking with Him. You know, I believe that God has been calling a lot of you guys just to get free. You know, now, it's... You can walk out anytime. Because the enemy can't hold you. He has no legal right to your soul. He has no legal right to anything of you. But many times people stay in bondage because in their mind they've been trapped. In their mind they've been brainwashed. In their mind they believe that that reality is all they can ever have and all they can ever be. And when that reality is challenged by God's promises, challenged by the truth, when somebody believes that, things change. Yeah, we mentioned Gideon a little bit. You know, I mean, if Gideon did not believe the message of the angel of the living God, when he said, hey, you mighty warrior, I got something for you to do. He didn't believe that message. His people would have stayed in bondage. But because he believed the message, God used him to liberate his people. All it takes is one person. All it takes is you. All it takes is you. You believing that message. You believing the encouragement, the admonition of the living God. You taking that scripture and applying it. You apply the scriptures to your life, you will get a miraculous scriptural result. If you don't apply them, then you just go in the way that the world says things are supposed to be. All right, then you're going by your faith in that system. Look, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God says, all right, I want you to go here. I want you to go to some place you've never been before, and I want you to preach the gospel, or I want you to, you know, be of service, or I want you to do this, that, or whatever. If you do that, you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Scripturally, God will take care of your needs. And you will go into a place where you don't know what's going to happen, how things are going to work. You may feel like you don't have any resources to do it, and God will be miraculous on your behalf again and again and again. And I've seen it, I've experienced it, I've watched it. It's beautiful. And you know, when that's the kind of way that you're living, life is so different. Life is different. You know, you are so alive because you're right there in the moment because God is in that moment. You know, a lot of reasons why people go do crazy extreme sports, jump off of buildings, jump off of planes, you know, with parachutes, scale down cliffs, do all of this kind of stuff is because they want so badly that feeling of being in the moment. That sense of right now. Because actually, because you've been created in God's image and God's likeness, you were designed to be I am people. You were designed to actually be in this moment right now. And the reason that a lot of people do that kind of stuff is because they want to be in the moment and their life and their existence is anything but. So they've got to, you know, go and hook up their self to a bungee cord and jump off of a skyscraper just to get that moment again, that feeling. But you know what? The people of God, we live in I Am. We live in a place where we are alive. And life happens right now. And God intends that you would live in life right now. Not in something in some distant future. Not in something that you've got to work your way up to. It's not a 12-step program. It is right now. So there is peace in that. And, you know, it's just realize that the way that the world works is that it's going to try to sell you the opposite of truth. The world is going to tell you, okay, you know, save your life. And as it gets you to try to do that, you're going to lose your life. Look, this appointed unto every man is a time to die. After that, the judgment. The earth is going to wear out like a garment. All this stuff we know. We know this stuff scripturally. So why are people fighting against that which is the reality of this life? Instead, line your life up with truth and let the breaths that you take while you're here be about kingdom purposes. To start with, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, all the commandments are summed up in those. All the law and the prophets are summed up in that. It's simple. Hey, I'm a simple guy. Just love God with all that you got. Let that be it. And out of the overflow of that love, let it spill over into what you do for other people around you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you would not have people do X, Y, Z to you, don't do it to them. It's pretty simple, you know. A lot of things that people do unto other people, they would never want them to do unto them. So the world's eugenics program and the world's population control program, they don't want them doing that to them. But they'll do it to other people. Very simple. Simple filters that you can use to understand God's purposes, God's plan, and then also what is and what should not be. And you know what? When things are not what they should be, just speak. Allow God to quicken you and speak truth. Speak life into situations. Let people know that there is a standard. Let people know that there is a way. Let people know that there's another way. Because the world is trying very, very hard to shut up the people of God and to shut up truth. But they can't. They can't any more than darkness can stop a light that's turned on. As soon as the light's turned on, you can't do anything about it. It just shines. So just, you know, for you, hey, now that you've been lit, don't hide that light under, don't hide it under a bowl. Let it shine bright for all to see. Just your existence, you living truth, you living and walking with Christ, shines bright. Makes a difference. Changes things. Affects this reality. Affects the world that you live in and that which is around you. Just you walking with Him. Just you walking with Him is enough. Just you staying in step with Him is enough. And the little things even that you feel like, oh, this is just so small, what difference could this make? Just those little things that you do when they're in step with His Spirit have incredible eternal impacts. And you should know that. You should know that that which you do has incredible eternal impacts. But the key is just to be led by the Spirit of God. Like Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Hey, that's a good way to live. Just do what you see the Father doing. Just do what you see Jesus doing. Follow Him. And life becomes something else. Your existence becomes something else. The reason that you're here becomes something else. You know, if your reason for existence is about you and selfishness and your own agenda, you're going to be a very unhappy person. But if your reason for existence is about Christ, Christ Jesus, His plan, His purpose, and allowing for that to flow through you into whatever it is that He has for you to do on behalf of others and on behalf of, you know, what's going on right now, oh man, life takes on a whole new meaning. So be encouraged. Be encouraged in the truth. Be encouraged in the fact that God has an incredible purpose for you. And you can tap into it. You can know it this day. And unto that, you know, be blessed. Be blessed in the fact that you should know, and that you do know, that God has an incredible plan and purpose for your life. And it comes when you would buy yourself at his feet and say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. And with that, God bless you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Or you could also write us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word, and you will find us. So, hey, you know, we love you guys. And keep on keeping on. Say hi. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye.